Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. That's me, Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening today. I have been troubled with what's been going on in the news with the unfortunate act of violence in California. And yet this Sergeant Ron Helas, a 29-year veteran of the department, sacrificed his life. His heroic actions will certainly never be forgotten. And heroes are obviously easy to admire, and they are sometimes difficult to define. I don't think it's the case in Sergeant Ron Helas' situation. He stood in front of bullets that were being fired and protected young women with his body, and it cost him his life. Heroes simply do the right thing at the right time. Whether or not they realize the impact their action will have, that's maybe the one quality they share, is the tendency to think of others before themselves. I know that's part of what people in law enforcement do, is they take that oath to protect. Anyway, let's get the show started. We have a great conversation with Rebecca Lyons coming up. She is in studio, and I know you will enjoy Rebecca. She has been a guest before on the show, and her husband, Gabe Lyons, they're the co-founders of Q Ideas. And if you know anything about Q Ideas, you know that's a very well-run organization that encourages leaders to get engaged in the world. So we'll take a little break and then bring on Rebecca Lyons in just a minute.
The month of November is often associated with Thanksgiving. And here at Faith Radio, we want to take the opportunity to say thanks to you for listening, praying, and supporting. I'm Neil Stavem, Program Director for the Faith Radio Network, and I want to let you know that your gifts make this ministry possible. The relevant Bible preaching, the family-focused teaching, the interactive talk programming comes your way each day because of listeners partnering with us consistently month in and month out. So thank you for your faithfulness. And if you've yet to join our support team, or you want to make a gift this month to express your thankfulness for the encouragement and hope you receive every day, connect with us online at myfaithradio.com. Or call 877-933-2484 and press 2 to make a gift. Thank you again for your support. We're grateful for you, and may this season be full of reminders of God's goodness to you and your family.
Welcome to the show. I am always glad when I get anyone to come into studio, and not only do I have someone in the studio, but I have Rebecca Lyons in studio, and she flew all the way in from Nashville today to be here, which makes me feel really quite special. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There's so much I want to talk to you about, and I think the one thing I want to start with is, let's just mention why you're in Minneapolis. Just get that out of the way.
I'm here tonight for a conference, the Begin Conference. I'm so excited to be a part of it. And it's raising funds, and it's helping women around the city, coming around them, just walking them into freedom. And so a lot of different ways that that program does this, but I get to just share from my heart tonight on what freedom looks like.
I love that.
What that's been.
Yep. And that is right here in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Those listeners in that area, you may or may not be able to still come tonight. Is there still tickets available?
Yes, there are.
Okay. And you would go to Church of the Open Door in Maple Grove. They have a website. You can go Google that and find out. And it is called Begin. That's the name of the conference. And it's featuring my in-studio guest, Rebecca Lyons. Now, I've spoken to you before. I've spoken to your husband, Gabe, and you're two of the best guests ever, just so you know. But I feel like this is such a luxury having you in studio for a whole hour.
It's so fun.
Yeah, I know. It is for me, too.
In the flesh.
Yes. Otherwise, you're just talking to people on the phone.
Right. You're like, what do they look like?
Exactly.
What are they like?
There's no eye contact.
All the nonverbal that you need.
Exactly. Exactly. And I want to start with what's going on in your life right now with Gabe, because it's some big news coming down in the next 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes, it's very new. It's quite... it's so much. We are flying to China in 3 weeks to adopt our little one, Joy.
Now, tell me how all this came to be, because this is not something you just woke up last week and decided you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so Gabe and I celebrated 20 years of marriage last December. And right around the beginning of that month, adoption has been a 3-minute conversation probably every 3 years of our marriage. But it was always, you know, not the right time, overwhelmed. The last time it came up was 3 years ago in Franklin, once we got there from moving from New York City. And I just remember pulling into the garage and knowing that still yet it was not the right time, or if it would happen. And we kind of just surrendered it. And I just said, Lord, if this is something you want to happen, I just need you to put her right in front of my face and I will name her Joy. And so this past December, a friend of mine who runs a foster home in Beijing texted me a photo of a little girl. And she said her file's coming to the States tomorrow. And I said, why are you telling me this? And she said, and her name is Kara. And I said, you mean Joy in Greek?
Is that what?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes. From Eucharisteo. The word C-H-R-A means joy.
Okay.
And it just...
Give me a sign, Lord, any sign.
Right, I know. Exactly. And you'd think that'd be enough. But my thick skull, even over the next 5 weeks, it was a surrender after surrender after surrender. Because we have teenagers. Our oldest son, Cade, will be 18. He'll be a legal adult in 3 months. And he has Down syndrome. And now we'll bring a 5-year-old girl with Down syndrome. So they'll be our bookends. I don't even want to say that. Because the minute you say there are bookends, who knows what God does. But I just have learned in my life that anytime I try to control something or contain something, God just blows it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the latest rendition of that.
And then how many kids are between Cade and Joy?
Yes. So we have Pierce, who's 15.
Okay.
Kennedy's 13. So two boys now and 2 girls.
Okay. So the family is growing and interesting time, because as you getting teenagers in the house, that's a whole different...
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different experience,
isn't
it?
It is. Yeah. No more potty training, no more, you know, meal prep, but a lot more emotional, you know, just being present, you know, hanging out until they're ready to talk, you know, just being available. That's a whole different kind of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to go back to both, a little bit of both.
Yeah. So how, Rebecca, were you hearing God's nudging in all of this? I mean, you said you would have a conversation every year for 3 minutes with Gabe, and this went on for 3 years. What was some of the promptings you got from God to say, yes, this is something that he wants us to do? Because another huge responsibility.
You know, tears are a good indicator.
Right.
Right. I believe that tears are holy moments where the Spirit's trying to penetrate kind of the natural or the reasonable response.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember a girlfriend coming to visit me in Manhattan probably 10 years ago, and she was doing a ministry from Rwanda and talked about adopting her little one. And I just broke into tears over coffee. And I mean, she's a total stranger within 3 minutes. Just something about the adoption story. We've had a ton of friends who've done it. Obviously, we've always felt like our hands were pretty full with Cade, so we didn't really see capacity for it. But I have been teaching a message of freedom for the last 2 years since my book came out. And the whole gospel story is about adoption and how our identity is because of our adoption. And because of Christ buying our freedom, now God calls us sons and daughters. And because we are his children, God has made us his heir. And now all the resources of heaven are available to us. So it would only be the irony of God to have me talk about adoption every few nights, every week for 2 years, to kind of my heart just to be so tender to it.
Mm-hmm. And when do you board a plane to go to China?
Well, it's still in the works as we speak, but it looks like it's right around 3 weeks from today or tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane. I hope my husband's okay with me saying this on air. Yeah. I mean, it's official, so I know I'm not speaking out of turn,
right,
but we're just navigating all the travel and all that good stuff. Uh-huh. Yes.
What would you say to somebody that is considering doing what you and Gabe are doing?
You know, the biggest question I kept hearing God say in this decision-making process of the 5 weeks last December through the holidays, I just labored with it, was the question, do you trust me? And I kept thinking, like, do I need to quit my job? And I would hear, do you trust me? Do I quit traveling to speak? Do you trust me? Do I quit writing? Do you trust me? Am I going to do okay with the 3 kids I currently have, adding one? Do you trust me? And I believe that if God prompts us and softens our heart to something, and the only thing standing in our way is fear, then we ultimately still have to answer the question, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I absolutely don't feel equipped. I woke up this morning with the words of Lauren Daigle in my head where she says, I keep finding voices in my head that say I'm not enough. And I literally woke with that refrain. And yet, in my weakness, he is made perfect. So while I know that I feel very ill-equipped for it, and it's very unknown, I know that he would not prepare something for me that he isn't faithful to complete. And so his completion of my not enoughness is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the response that you were getting from God, and that was, do you trust me? That's something everybody struggles with, is God good and can he be trusted?
Yes.
And that's everyone's struggle at some point.
It's a fundamental question. You know, we had to read The Connected Child by Karen Purvis when you adopt, right? I'm here. I've been a mom for 18 years. I'm like, man, the benefits of adoption is the whole message of attachment. And so that's what God does with us. He says, I'm your father. But at some point, our relationship isn't forged until you call me father. Like, mm-hmm. You're my daughter, but I need to be called by you as father. And I think we're going to go to China, bring this girl home, and we'll say, I'm your mother. But at some point, she'll agree with us and say, Mom, you're my mom. And I think about just the fundamental child in that attachment phase. What the question a child is asking is, who can I trust? That is the most fundamental question for safety.
Where can I find my security?
Yeah.
Where will I not feel anxious?
Right.
I know you've had some bouts with anxiety and anxiousness.
Yes.
And can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, Rebecca Lyons is my guest. Her recent book is You Are Free, Be Who You Already Are. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. And we're going to continue to have a nice long discussion with Rebecca today in studio. I'll take a very short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. I have in studio Rebecca Lyons, and you may know her from her books. You may know her alongside her husband, Gabe. She is the co-founder of Q Ideas, which is a nonprofit organization that helps Christian leaders engage in the culture, which they do a spectacular job of. If you've ever been to one of the Q Ideas conferences or seminars, you know how good they are. Quality stuff. And she is in studio with me. We're talking about a lot of what is going on in her life. Her and Gabe are adopting a 5-year-old girl from China who has Down syndrome. They have a soon-to-be 18-year-old son who has Down syndrome as well. And she kept asking God about, you know, can she do this? And can I continue to speak? And can I continue to write? And God always would come back with, do you trust me? And that was the message she kept hearing. And the answer is yes. She can trust him, which is awesome. But it does not come without some anxiety,
right?
And some fear of what life is going to be like.
The unknown, right, is always scarier.
It's always scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a forever thing. That's going
right.
to. It's not like you're taking care of someone's child for the weekend.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and you experienced some anxiety, and it was pretty severe at one point.
Right. This reminds me of a decision 8 years ago when we moved to New York City. It's not anything like it, but the risk was felt similar. The risk, the unknown, the selling 75% of what we owned, leaving family, friends, security, and moving to Manhattan on some level, going from a very church population in Atlanta to largely unchurched. And yet God got so loud for me in that season, leaving the Bible Belt. He got so loud for me in Manhattan. And I think in those moments of where we risk everything and we kind of put all our chips in the middle again,
mm-hmm.
that is where we meet God. And that is where we said, yes, we trust you. We're on a free fall right now. And we trust that you're there with us. You don't promise that there won't be pain, but you do promise that you are Emmanuel, that you'll be with us in the pain and that we don't have to harbor it. We can release it to you. day by day, mm-hmm. every day. And that's, you know, really what this year's been. My dad passed in April after we had already said yes to adoption. And that was after an 8-year journey of a struggle for him in assisted living. And it was devastating. And even in May, I remember I realized about 3 weeks in, like, oh, this is depression. I'm familiar with this. It's been a long time since I've had this, but I had a hard time coming out of it. And that would then make me question this decision to adopt that we were well down the road on all the forms and paperwork, home study done, all those things. And yet knowing that turning back was not an option. In fact, in that season, we found out some things were, you know, some dynamics were changing, and it was just a miracle, really, that we were able to be matched with her when we were. And so I think even in the do you trust me, in my timing, in my grace, in my mercy for you tomorrow morning, even though tonight you might feel sad. So the Lord, I just got quiet this summer online, and I just went for lots of walks with God in the woods and just stayed just quiet in his word, because I think we all in those areas of joy, areas of fear, areas of unknown, we have to just put it all down. And Mother Teresa has a quote in her book, Come Be My Light, and it's her private writings to Jesus. I hope she's okay with it because it's on Amazon. But she says, when I see someone sad, it's because they're refusing something to Jesus. And for me personally, that looks like when I harbor like sadness, it's because I'm harboring a pain that I'm not ready to yield to him. And so I want this new journey of adoption that even in the unknown, even in the ill-equipped feelings of what is scary and what my mind can conjure up, I want to lay that down immediately so that his peace can fill me.
You've had a lot of stuff to process lately. Is your mom still alive?
Yes.
Okay. So the loss of your dad, did he have a long illness?
Yes. I mean, it ended with end-stage Parkinson's.
Okay.
He struggled with just different kinds of mental struggles for the last 30 years, but he ended with Parkinson's. Yeah.
So your emotions have been all over the map.
Yeah. It's been a year. And the craziest thing is a year ago, I was praying in the middle of the night for someone else, someone that was struggling with a lot of things, and I just was getting very, like, bold with some bravado at about 3 a.m. And I remember marching around the house and I just said, and I declare this and this in Jesus' name and this in Jesus' name. And finally I was like, and I declare 2018, a year of abundance in Jesus' name. And I remember, like, cause I have a word for every year.
Uh-huh.
And in 2011 it was rescue, then retreat and on. But this year was abundance. And I'm like, oh wait, I'm not worthy of abundance. Cause I usually think that I wasn't worthy of it. And I would think of abundance as all the good things, like all the things that seem obvious.
Yeah.
And God immediately said, it's going to be abundance in the areas that you don't currently see as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so then joy is introduced to us, you know, within weeks. So I have felt an abundance of dependency on God, an abundance of emotion, abundance of death and life. And even when I felt sad in May after my dad died, God continually whispered, fight death with life. Fight death with life. We want death to be the end of the story, right? When we're in the middle of it, when we're walking through something really hard. Winston Churchill says, if you're in hell, keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually the darkness will lift. So this idea of walking in something really hard, we think that that's the end of the story, but truly death always precedes resurrection. And so I want to fight death with life because I know that that is really the promise that we've been given.
Rebecca, talk about releasing stress and anxiety. Because I know everyone listening is thinking, at some level, that's me, and I don't know how to turn this over to God and feel like I can do it cleanly and say, here it is, Lord.
Yeah.
Let me now go do what you've set me out to do without this burdening stress and anxiety.
Well, sometimes it helps to just give the fear a name. Sometimes we feel this overall stress and anxiety of our whole life, right? But I think it usually comes back to the same central fears that the enemy has in some way attached to us. He, like, knows it's kind of our vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's provision or whether it's the unknown or the future, whatever the thing is that kind of is something that sets off anxiety, I think once we can determine what that is, we can say, Jesus, I lay this at your feet. I release this. And usually our anxiety is attached to the things we're trying to control the most. Right? Because we got to harness that thing. Because again, control is driven by fear. And the fear is that if we release control, that it will all fall apart and everything will be worse than it's ever been, when the reality is the opposite. When we release control, joy enters. Like joy comes into the middle of the fear, and we all of a sudden realize the fear doesn't actually own us. But by naming it, you got to name it. So maybe it's a hard relationship you're in. Maybe it's like an estrangement from someone you love in your family, or there's not reconciliation, or you're withholding forgiveness from someone, or maybe there's unresolved grief or trauma that you never. Here's another thing. I think when people harbor pain for a long time and they shove it down as if like it's okay, and, you know, I love God, so I really can't feel, I shouldn't grieve. But Jesus was, I read about this in You Are Free, and you're free to grieve. You know, Jesus was a man of sorrow, well acquainted with grief. So he fully grieved. And in, as his children, we, with his imago Dei in us, we need to fully grieve. So part of it is just naming the fear, naming the place of pain that we're kind of holding on to and we don't want to lay down. But that thing is a thing that enslaves us. And so when we know what it is, we can just release it to him. And then for me, like my panic attacks began on airplanes. Now I have to get on an airplane every week to talk about the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Like the irony of that is not lost on me. Right. And I do think our fear or anxiety will come after us in the places that God has appointed and destined for us. And so the enemy's trying to thwart the fulfillment of this destiny placed in the womb. It says, all my days were written in your book before one of them began. So God knows what he knits in us and what his plans and purposes are. And the enemy's like, oh, you were made to carry peace, so I'm going to throw anxiety at you instead. And so we need to get on the other side of that and say, God, what do you have on the, around the bend that I can look forward to and be a future and a hope?
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, why do we have this so backwards? Because when we have something we're trying to control so desperately, it falls apart. And then when we turn it over to God, we get peace and abundance. Why do we have this so backwards? Why is it so counterintuitive?
Because, again, the control comes from a scarcity mentality.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It's the life of an orphan versus a daughter or son, right? The orphan thinks nothing good's going to come around the bend. It's not going to get any better than this. I've been given this small little morsel that I got to hold on to it, and I got to harbor it, and I got to hang on. When we know our identity as children, that a God is good and he lavishes and there's always more around the bend, then we can give freely from just this complete, yes, God, I trust you. Yes, Abba, Father, I am yours. We can agree with him. And part of taking our thoughts captive, we talk a lot about renewing the mind, because in anxiety and depression, the mind is what's going on a crazy loop. But the renewing of the mind to me is very much interrupting the thoughts of the mind, the crazy brain, with the truth of God's word from our lips. So if you confess out loud with your mouth, the Lord has raised Jesus from the dead, you're saved. And so for me, I will, if I wake up at 3 a.m. on a loop, that's immediately when I'll just read some verses on what God says about fear. God, Rebecca, I don't give you a spirit of fear. I give you power, love, and a sound mind. And I say those things out loud to interrupt the thoughts that continue to come.
All right, we'll take a little break. We have Rebecca Lyons with us in studio. We'll take a very short break. Be right back. Welcome back to the show. If you just joined us, I have Rebecca Lyons either in studio or on a really good cell phone. And because every time I've spoken to her, it's been she's called me from her home in Nashville, or at one point she called me from her home in New York, and now she's in town in the Twin Cities. She'll be at the Church of the Open Door tonight for a conference, the Begin Conference. She'll be speaking. I think there's still a chance for you to grab a ticket. If you go to Church of the Open Door, Google it, you will find all you need to know about that. I think the doors open at 5:30. So she was nice enough to swing by on her way to that event to come and talk to me. So I feel very honored to have her with me in studio. And we're talking about, we're all over the map today. right before we went to break, we were talking about releasing stress and anxiety and how counterintuitive it can be when the harder we try to control something, the worse it gets. And Rebecca, I would like to kind of go back to this discussion because I think it's so meaningful for people, because I talk to people every day or every week that are they're holding on to something.
Yes.
They either have not lamented it well, or
right.
they've not mourned it,
right.
or they just feel more comfortable hanging on to it.
One big thing I think people withhold is forgiveness. So
is that self-forgiveness included?
Both.
Okay.
Inflicted against you or something you did for some, you know, so we'll carry condemnation for ourselves. We won't forgive ourselves. And the Lord woke me a month ago and about a relationship that's dear to me. And he said, you do not have permission to withhold forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what was done. It doesn't matter how much it hurt. What I know is that if I withhold forgiveness from that person, I can't have peace. And then we all know scripture says, if you go to bed angry, the enemy has a foothold, and the enemy doesn't need to have our whole heart. He just needs a crack in the door. He needs a crack in the door that's just loud enough to just get in our ear and diminish us and condemn us. And so then we hear that and we're like, you must be right. I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible friend. I'm a terrible wife, blah, blah, blah. And then we echo everything he's put in our mind in kind of this weird false humility but God's like, that's not who I say you are. That's not the identity that I've given you. So you're now negotiating with the enemy here. You're just agreeing, and then you're wondering why you can't get out of this cycle of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think partly is like, who do we need to forgive? Who do we need to trust? God, obviously. And so a lot of times when I teach at the end, I'll ask four questions. I'll say, is there someone that... Give me a name. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a name of someone, a face and a name of someone you need to forgive, whether or not they need it, whether or not they want it. It's not for them. It's for you to keep your heart clean before God. How many of you don't believe that your life has meaning or purpose, that callings were handed out to everyone with skinny jeans, but somehow like you missed the memo? So I have them confess that, like, God, I don't really believe that you have good things for my life, that you have plans and assignments for my life. The third thing I always ask is who is stopped asking for God to get in the middle of either mental illness or physical illness. I think Jesus knows our pain, and Jehovah Rapha is the healer. So are we willing to just at least invite him in? Sometimes we just don't want to ask because we want to disarm God because we don't want to bother him. But I think he wants to get in the middle of it. And then the fourth thing is just, what are the ways in which we can lay down? What is the one thing you need to lay down? And so whether it's, again, a fear, a pain, a relationship, whatever, like, what do we need to surrender completely so that the stronghold is no longer mm-hmm. on us?
What does the surrender completely look like? What is it? I mean,
oh my goodness.
Can you draw a circle around it?
Yeah, for me, motherhood. I need to surrender motherhood. I wanted to raise perfect clones of Gabe and I. I don't know who told me that was supposed to be the thing, but that's not the thing. And uh-huh. now having three kids that have gone through puberty and now in middle and high school, I think the Lord has used marriage and motherhood to sanctify me and surrender me more than anything else that I've been called to do. Partly because it's one of the most selfless things. It's like, these are actual human beings who have their own brains.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feed them, they will grow and they will have opinions that are different than you. And they will handle things far differently than you thought they ever would. And while you're at one point mortified, at the same point, you're so grateful that they have their own minds, that God's going to get in the middle of those things. So for me, motherhood was a great example of something that I couldn't control. And even relationships, I think friendships are things that we want to control. You know, either we get too needy or clingy, or then we get like kind of, we pull back out of self-defense. I think even our work, right? Work becomes an idol for a lot of us, especially if we're, I don't know if you know the Enneagram, but like a 3 or a 4, that like we're achievers.
Mm-hmm.
We really pride ourselves in the work of our hands. And so it becomes an idol. And I think here it is. It's like, if we could just ask the Spirit of God to show us these mini idols in our lives, those are the things we want to control. And it's when we elevate the gift God gives us over God, the giver of good gifts. So if I elevate writing over God who gives me the gift to write, or speaking over God, then all of a sudden I have to confess those things. And I think the biggest message around this release and surrender is confession. My friends joke I'd make a great Catholic, because I think examining the heart before taking the bread and the cup, like Paul says about, mm-hmm. he says that's why so many of you are sick, because
mm-hmm.
you don't actually pray that prayer of David where he says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see what's wicked in me and lead me in the way everlasting. If he was a man after God's own heart doing that, then why ought not we, right? So I asked the Lord, like, even in the places I don't know, but I can tell I'm like acting out a little bit. I said, God, Holy Spirit, would you show me the things I'm either propping up as idols, the attachments, the selfish things, and I want to lay those down.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll show us. I mean, we can't miss it. Our family usually knows. The people closest to us usually know if we're vulnerable enough to ask, and then we can release. And it's a daily thing. It's not like a once and for all. I believe it's a daily practice, and I'm mm-hmm. writing about that in my third book.
Nice. I've said to friends before, you know, the degree to which you don't forgive is probably the degree to which you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you're holding
on
to.
Your freedom is contingent on forgiveness.
Yeah, they're owning a piece of you.
Yeah.
And that piece is, you know, probably the equivalent, maybe
Absolutely.
Even more for you.
It is.
You're not forgetting. You're suffering. You're the one doing
it
self-sabotage.
Is. Absolutely.
So this whole idea of asking the Holy Spirit to bring to mind someone that's on your list that you should do business with is really a smart idea.
And if we ever say, I won't ever forgive you or I cannot forgive you, mm-hmm. we're literally negotiating with evil at that point.
Oh, totally.
And so God's not going to condemn us, but he is going to invite us to repent of that.
What's it like when someone comes to you and says, Rebecca, I need to ask you for forgiveness. I've been mad about something, or I've been holding something against you, or I feel like I need your forgiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember those experiences?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like, no holds barred. Absolutely. Like it's there. It's always right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of my kids and I, you know, this morning or yesterday, or I mean, how many times we say sorry in our home? It's almost like a race. Who can say sorry first? Because none of us really want to hold on to it because we know it breaks relationship.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
Yeah. Let's talk about self-condemnation. That's another thing that keeps popping up. Even yesterday we were talking to a guest that was talking about how damaging that is.
Yeah. Well, it's just lies. It's all lies, right? So it's the enemy's tactic to just take out the church. If he can't get us through infidelity or porn or addiction, then he'll just make us feel small
mm-hmm.
and mute mm-hmm. ultimately. And we'll condemn ourselves because we'll feel so much guilt. And what we're essentially saying is we believe that our sin is greater than the cross.
But then we turn around and present an imposter to the world.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, if we've done self-condemnation, we can't go tell the world what a rotten person we think we are. So we have to present to the world,
right.
Hey, I'm this guy
right.
that's got it all together.
Yeah, and
check
you can see
out.
Through that, right?
I host an afternoon radio show.
We can,
all is well with me.
We can see right through it because we're trying to prop up something that we aren't settled with.
Right.
And so I think we take our condemnation, we lay that down. For sure, the first thing was like, God, I know you don't say this is true. You don't say that, like, you say your works are wonderful and that your friend, my friend, you know, you said when you created me, your works were wonderful and you knew that full well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that I believe your works are wonderful today as I look in the mirror or I look at my month or I look at the way I lashed out at somebody or stalked someone on social media or, you know.
I don't picture you doing that for some reason.
I pray that I don't, but there are days,
okay.
There's probably moments where I kind of, you know, and I do think that's where I got to be honest about that. And I think if the church could just be more honest about our shortcomings, because again, Paul says, don't boast in your strength, boast in your weakness. That doesn't mean shame yourself and condemn yourself, but just be honest with the fact that you're vulnerable. You're broken and desperate need of a savior, just like everyone else. You might have been a Christian longer. You might stand on a stage and teach the word, but you're just as vulnerable as the next person. And the minute you get away from that, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be very honest in transparency is sharing where you've been. Vulnerability is sharing where you are. And I always ask the Holy Spirit to get in the middle of my talks tonight, next week, last week, and make sure that I'm sharing a now thing, not just a then thing that's been buttoned up, because I want them to see God at work in my life even now and today.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So if we are hearing these words from you and we're learning that this vulnerability is good. What's a first step somebody can take?
Well, I absolutely lead with vulnerability and friendship.
Okay.
Right? Because everyone wants to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
They want safety. And sometimes it just takes the leader in the room to go, hey, I'm kind of a mess sometimes, but God is enough. And he fills in the gaps and he completes where I stop. And the minute we say that, everyone does this collective exhale like, oh, you too? great. You're not perfect as you come across online. And then when we do that, we are inviting and connecting, because all we really want is to connect. Our hearts deep down, we want to connect. And so we try to put on this like facade and show because we think that's going to impress people. But really what's going to connect us with people is just like the control thing. It's the counterintuitive opposite that says, hey, I actually struggle with these things. Is anybody else? And they're like, yeah, me, I do too. And then all of a sudden you've forged friendship that's real and authentic. And then the whole point about when you're afraid and alone, vulnerable and alone, you feel afraid. But when you're vulnerable and together, you feel brave. You become brave. And I think that's what we need to do as God's people. When we lead in vulnerability, we'll find a whole bunch of people that are feeling not alone and becoming brave with their courage and their story.
Yeah, I love that. Talk about discernment a little bit and how you have seen your discernment change over the years.
Well, you know, scripture's awesome, and it says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. You'll get a lot. So as a kid, I was like, I'm going to double down on that.
Me too.
So I asked for wisdom a lot. I didn't even really know it at all. I was hoping it would help me in my grades at school. But now as an adult, you know, it's spiritual wisdom, right? And in James, it talks about spiritual wisdom, and it's wisdom from above, which is discernment that helps you kind of read between the lines, hear what's not being said, look behind the eyes. And that's what I always ask God to do if I do get in a conversation with a lot of strangers as I travel, and they'll come up to me at the book table or whatever, and we'll get into a conversation. And I just ask the Spirit under my breath, I'll just pray through that whole time, like, give me the words to ask, give me the questions to ask, because you know where the root is. You know, we can treat the symptoms all day long. We can go to the doctor and we can treat the symptoms, whether it's physical or mental illness. But the root wound is in the heart, and God wants to heal us from there, from the inside out. And so I'm always looking for ways that I can come around, like where the heartbreak really began.
Rebecca Lyons is my guest. She's here in studio with me. She's written a book called You Are Free. Be who you already are. I don't know why I always struggle trying to say that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tongue twister. But we're going to take a little break. We'll come back more with Rebecca Lyons in just a minute. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're going to want to go to myfaithradio.com, go to the Afternoons with Bill Arnold page, and start this interview from the beginning, because it's you don't want to miss any of it. Rebecca Lyons is my in-studio guest. She happens to be in town in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis/St. Paul for an event tonight. She's at the Begin Conference. She's a featured speaker, and that is tonight at the Church of the Open Door. There are still a few tickets available if you want to go over to Church of the Open Door. You can Google that website and find out more about it. She lives in Nashville with her husband, Gabe. They're co-founders of Q Ideas, which is a nonprofit organization that helps Christian leaders engage in the world, and they do a great job. Rebecca, when you moved from New York, were you going to Redeemer?
We were going to Church of the City, or at the time, Trinity Grace
Church. Okay.
Yes. But we had a lot of relationships at Redeemer. Yeah, loved him.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan.
He just poured into Gay, which is such a gift.
Yeah, I kind of sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sort of sense that. All right, now let's talk about courage, because everyone wants courage. And how do we start taking our freedom that we have and sharing it with others?
Well, bravery is moving scared.
Okay.
That's what I believe. And that means one step at a time. What is the next right thing? What does obedience look like? Gabe often talks about long obedience in the same direction looks like courage, right? But day to day, you know, it kind of feels like, no, I'm just kind of putting my shoes on and walking out the door and doing something that feels a little hard. But when you do that day after day after day, then all of a sudden it looks like you're brave. You know, some people might think, you know, raising two special needs kids is brave, but it never comes across like that to me. To me, it's like, okay, well, today just looks like caring for what's in front of me.
Right.
You know, and I think for every single person, whatever that is, it's doing it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and knowing that that is our reasonable service. That's kind of whatever he invites us into. If we just say yes, I mean, that's the brave thing. Say yes. Start with saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 year my word was open and I said, God, I will walk through whatever door you open, but I won't push any open myself. because we could go rabbit trail somewhere else on our own will, and we call that brave. But I think what God invites us to is actually the bravest thing, because it usually always requires surrender and sacrifice, and it will always need God to get in the middle of it, or it wouldn't have been his plan if it doesn't involve him.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at that story of the shooting in California last night, and the officer that lost his life was putting himself in front of teenage girls to absorb the bullets.
Right.
And
wow.
I can hardly spit that out without bursting into tears.
I know.
It's just an example of this substitutionary love.
Yes.
Of Christ going to the cross from our sins. And yet this man, you know, he raised his right hand, taking the oath that he would protect. And then he did and did not probably think twice.
Exactly.
And now he's gone. And he's got a widow and a couple of kids that are left behind. And, I think 20 years ago that story would have been hard. But as you get older, those stories get harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think of Revelation 12:11. It says the enemy is bound by two things, Christ's blood and our testimony. And then it ends with, and they did not love their lives more than death.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of the power of that story, of that reckless abandon to sacrifice everything on behalf of someone else. And that's what God did for us. I think we all walk around free and we're like, this is awesome. We're free. But we don't know how costly it actually is. And I remember finishing the book on freedom and just praying one day. It had been a lot of attack, quite frankly, in the middle of writing it. And I was like, Jesus, this is a costly message, isn't it? And he's like, you think? You know, I gave my life. And anything that's precious is costly. And for that guy to do that for these girls, that is a story they will testify about their entire lives.
I know. And you can never argue with a life well lived.
Absolutely.
And an act of courage and bravery like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me I'm sure will find its way into a million sermons in the next 10 years.
And it's still why we're praising Jesus 2,000 years later.
I know. All right. With the time we have left, Rebecca, I'd love to talk about just exhaustion.
I love it with the time left.
Yeah.
Let's just take a nap for the next
few
minutes.
Because I'm tired and you're tired and you've got to speak tonight. But, you know, we all have expectations that we're trying to meet and we're trying to enjoy God's freedom. But we're also trying to live in this world and meet expectations and make everybody happy.
Well, I just listened to a sermon from my church in New York City that I used to go to, John Tyson. It's called Rest Must Be Stronger Than Exhaustion.
I'm writing this down.
And he has a whole series right now called This Must Be Stronger Than That, based on Winston Churchill, you know, back in the day. And so he does all these series. But rest has been a huge part of my story these last 3 years. When we moved from New York to Franklin, people kept saying, I sense you're entering a season of rest. And I'm like, I don't want to rest. I just got going. I'm running the race in Hebrews 12. And, you know, so finally healed or walking out of panic disorder, finally not having panic attacks on planes, feeling courage and bravery again. I don't want to rest. And yet I did a study on rest. I actually offer it free on my website. It's like a video series. And the whole idea is that God blesses rest, that rest is not optional, that rest is a command, and that God modeled it in creation so that his land would rest, his people would rest, that rest, we would run from rest, not run so we can earn rest. We get it backwards. So in this book I'm writing, it's four rhythms that rescue us on a daily basis. It's rhythms of rescue. And this idea is the first one is rest. I just jump full speed into rest because I think we have lost the freedom and permission to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to all take a nap. That's what I believe. No.
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. Because what are we doing it for? You know, to what end? And I think sometimes we got to stop ourselves for a moment and go, why all the striving? What are we trying to prove? Is there something we're trying to compensate for? And I'm speaking to the choir on this. And so I've just asked God so we've moved out a little further in the country and we have chickens and this is not like New York City. I don't even know who I am anymore, but it's, there's this rhythm of rest. I sat on my front porch yesterday on a rocking chair and watched these birds just like jump from the tops of two different trees back and forth. And they were like having the biggest time, just having a total ball. And I got to just sit there and watch the sun come up with coffee and just talk to God and be like,
so you weren't locked out of the house?
No, well,
okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I
willingly...
gotta
wait for Gabe to get home because I locked myself out of the house.
It was like...
That was intentional.
Yeah, I sleep on my front porch sometimes.
Okay. All
right. But we're good. Our marriage is good. No, I... it was early morning and Cade gets on the bus so early. So we're usually up and I just think Jesus says, come into my rest. You know, are you tired, burned out on religion? Come get away with me. You'll recover your life. learn this unforced rhythm of grace, you'll learn to walk free in light. Don't we want that? We want, and why? Because you'll find rest for your soul. How many of us want rest for our soul? I mean, we're claiming Christ, we're sharing the good news, we're walking out the kingdom, but we don't have soul rest. Then why would the world want what we have? And so I think it starts with us getting honest before God and going, is there a striving here? Do I not believe I'm worthy of love unless I earn it? Am I trying to attach all these things to what you've already freely given me? If so, I confess those things and I lay them down yet again. Here mm-hmm. we go. And then I say, Jesus, I come under your covering of peace. I want peace. I want rest. And I there is no striving. And Jesus told me in that season, initiate nothing, watch what I can do. And that has been the greatest gift these last 3 years, just to kind of ease into an easy and light burden that he puts mm-hmm. on us.
How do you do with diet, exercise, and sleep?
I'm serious about it.
Okay.
Because, again, we're bringing home a five-year-old, and I'm in my mid-40s. So all of a sudden, my diet got real important.
Okay.
No, I want to live as long. I want to at least steward whatever days God has for me.
Yeah.
And so I eat whole food. I'm serious about getting to bed early and serious about walking. I'm like such a big fan of nature walks now. We have a 4-mile trail near our house, and I'll walk all the time. And again, it's prayer walks with God. Sometimes Gabe and I'll go early. Sometimes the kids and I'll go. Walking, you know, like creativity is I even got a walking desk, a treadmill desk while I write, because there's all this science behind it, but how walking stimulates creativity because your subconscious kind of takes over
yeah.
and starts to connecting all these dots that your conscious brain can't kind of get out.
Yeah.
And so as a writer, it's super fun to walk and then things click and then I run back home and get it down.
Yeah.
So
when you're moving or when you're in the presence of movement, mm-hmm. that's when you get your best ideas.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, people talk about, you know, I got this great idea in the shower. And I go, yeah, of course you did, because there's something moving.
Yeah.
There's movement.
And it's almost a release. Again, you're not trying to control what you're doing. It's when you're freely just engaging and just walking and encountering, all of a sudden your brain clicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and even in sleep, your brain is actually on overdrive, restoring, renewing. There's a book on rest that I love that just talks about this from a scientific perspective. And it's like, well, of course, that's why God made us the way he did,
mm-hmm.
because he knew that we would need it.
So I always want to offer my listeners something to put in a brown paper bag and walk through their front door with when they get home. Do you have a thought based on what you're speaking on tonight, that little tidbit you can give us?
Okay. Well, I guess in general that I think that our Christian life begins with freedom. And that's why it's so important to me that we weren't made to keep up. We were made to be free, to be mm-hmm. who we already are. And the idea here is that once we lay all the things down, I think right now we're getting it out of order. We really want a life that's meaningful, but you can't have meaning until you have surrender, and meaning follows surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we could just get surrendered and lay down the things that enslave us and then pick up freedom, then we would walk out in abundance, and it wouldn't be striving or prettier version of striving in the church or trying to need the approval of man or trying to be enough for God. If we just really came to really know our one identity as sons and daughters of God, who he lavishes us with gifts, then out of that healing, we can live a life that's honest, brave, courageous, restful, all the things we just discussed, right? Because it's coming. We're not operating from a wound anymore. We've asked him to heal any broken hearts in us. But out of the healing, then we can be free.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, let's get it in order.
Okay.
You know, like, let's know early on what we were saved from, what we've been rescued from, versus like the eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
But once we know that, then the rest of it follows.
Yeah. I am, very glad to have you come in studio, and I've been delighted to meet you, and I'm excited for everyone attending the conference tonight. They're in for a big treat. Rebecca Lyons has been my guest, and her latest book is You Are Free, Be Who You Already Are. She's going to be speaking tonight at Church of the Open Door at the Begin Conference. You can go to the Church of the Open Door in Maple Grove, Minnesota for more information. We'll take a short break and be right back with more in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.